Hey, y'all. Welcome to Winning at Life. Live Financial News Talk Radio. Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. The phone number. Hey, live radio. We take your calls, give you some financial help. 504-260-0995. And you can reach out to us through the Winning at Life app. Go ahead, download it. Do it soon. You can text, email, call the show. You'll connect to the show and can become a part of the Winning at Life Nation. Get information on the Ask Gregory podcasts and other news and events that we have going on. Facebook Live, we're on, and you can stream audio as well as watch the show. The app can help you with that. Or go to GregoryRicks.com and go to the media tab. Hey, James.
Hey, Gregory. So how's it feel to be back doing live events again? You had a Wine, Wisdom, and Food experience last night, and there you go, hosting public events.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was great to get back together. We had a full room. Everybody had a great time. I had a great time doing it.
All these events are listed at GregoryRicks.com. There's an events tab. Anything else before we get into the numbers?
I'm ready for the numbers. Okay.
The number.
Well, welcome to the number segment on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. This is where we give you a snapshot of what happened in the financial world today while you were out winning at life. You can follow along on the charts and graphs we're looking at right now, GregoryRicks.com/numbers, or there's also a numbers page situated on the Winning at Life app. And if you're looking at the chart, there's a nice little sideways movement, and then it went down in the early afternoon and then stayed down. Gee, Gregory, what happened sometime around early afternoon kind of ish? Was someone giving a speech of some
sort? Jerome Powell had a podium after finishing up the Fed meeting this time. And some of his quotes, Powell said the Fed will continue to monitor the progress of economic recovery and will give advance notice before announcing any decisions to taper its bond buying program. He went on to say, you can think of this meeting that we had as the talking about meeting, if you'd like. Powell also said, when asked about the tapering, I suggest that we retire that term, which has served its purpose. So he's not a fan of the tapering.
You want to do this now or after the numbers?
Well, let's get on to the numbers, but that I was getting into, and it can, there's a lot more to talk about as well. We could go on probably the rest of the show covering.
We'll do the sound bites after the
Q&A, but go ahead.
Yeah. So all three of our indices were down though, and they were down by quite a bit. The Dow Jones Industrial was down 0.8%. S&P 500 was down 0.5%. And the NASDAQ was down 0.25%. Significant red on all three of our major indices.
10-year treasuries, 1.587% yield. Crude oil, $71.48. Brent crude, $73.87. Gold, $1,819.60. Silver finished up at $27.24.
You know, lumber ducked back down below $1,000 per 1,000 board feet again. It had bumped back up after the last time we did the numbers. And it got a mention. Jay Powell, in his comments, actually mentioned a little bit of lumber. So that's how funny that commodity has been. We've been talking about it on the show for a few months, and it's getting noticed everywhere.
Yeah, so as we were talking about, the market was reacting violently to the Fed's upgrade to the inflation forecast and bringing those two interest rate increases forward. Yeah, they talked about interest rate increases, but not anytime soon. It was just kind of interesting to me, the timing of that. They're forecasting late 2023. The listeners probably think, oh, this year? No, not even in 2022. Does that surprise you? It does not surprise me whatsoever.
Yeah, and he really never gave a solid answer on when they're going to raise rates. He just says, well, when things look better. Well, when unemployment gets to what, 4%, will you raise rates? How high does inflation have to get? You know, no goalposts were set in this meeting here.
Well, The Federal Reserve now sees at least two interest rate hikes in 2023, according to the central bank's so-called dot plot of projections, is where this comes from. Wednesday's forecast showed 13 members of the Federal Open Market Committee believe the Fed will increase rates in 2023, and the majority of them believe the central bank will hike at least twice that year. Only five members see the Fed staying pat through 2023. In fact, seven of the 18 members see the Fed possibly increasing rates as early as 2022. So what you've seen is a little bit of adjustment forward. You got a few thinking, hey, could be 2022. Well, that would be on the back end of that, I would expect, because the majority sees it on the back end of 2023. So that's kind of how far out are they seeing? Yeah, they're seeing to the end of 2023. I think as time goes, that might move up a little more. I still am not feeling any in 2022. And hey, a lot of reasons. And I'll tell you, one of them is political as well. I feel strongly about that statement.
I can't blame you there. You know, just the having the admission that they talked about having the conversation had this effect today where the market took a big dive. And that was them saying, okay, we've started having the talk about the talk.
Yeah, so once again, for clarity, and we haven't talked about this before, but every quarter, members of the committee forecast where interest rates will go in the short term, medium term, and long term. These projections are, and I'm going to share this article over at gregoryricks.com, the blog, but it also, in this article we're referencing here, it shows those plots, which is really interesting from that standpoint. So we had in the in March, four of the 18 FOMC members were looking for a rate hike at some point in 2022. At the same time, seven members saw a rate increase in 2023. So you can see they're kind of moving up a little bit and consolidating that. So I feel pretty good. We're going to see an interest rate hike in 2023. Hey, do you have money? You know that old job? Did you have a 401k there? Do you still have money over there? How are you planning to take that money out? When are you going to take that money out? Question. Well, you're just going to leave it there? Well, how is it doing? Do you go in and check on it? Check on the investment choices? If you're going to leave it there and you're not keeping an eye on it, you might want to use my 401k maximizer service for that. But I have some better ideas. Instead of leaving your money at the old job, maybe you should roll it over to an IRA. Maybe you could, if you change jobs, you could move that money to the new plan that you have at your current employer. And then there's enormous amount of planning. Maybe there's Roth opportunities, converting it to a Roth, some of that money over to a Roth in the future for it to grow tax-free. You remember, if you're converting IRA money or 401k traditional money to a Roth, that is a taxable event. So something to think about. Hey, if you'd like some ideas, help on that, go to gregoryricks.com/401k. Or you might say, you know what? I need to do something about it. I'm going to take an action step. I'm going to ask you to take an action step. And you can still go ahead and download. But start a conversation by calling the office at 504-832-9200. We can start with a 15-minute phone call, a video meeting, a Zoom meeting, or schedule a visit with an advisor in our Baton Rouge office, our Mandeville office, our Metairie office. Those are all Louisiana offices, and I'm going to give you a Mississippi office. Over in Gulfport, call and visit gregoryricks.com.
All right, Gregory, I want to get your reaction to a few quick clips from Jay Powell, Jerome Powell's speech today. Jerome Powell, for the people new to the show, this is the Federal Reserve Bank of America. This is the guy that's in charge of it. And he came out today and announced, no big surprise here, that they're going to keep rates zero.
Today, the Federal Open Market Committee kept interest rates near zero and maintained our asset purchases. These measures, along with our strong guidance on interest rates and on our balance sheet, will ensure that monetary policy will continue to deliver powerful support to the economy until the recovery is complete.
No shock there.
That's just standard languaging. They're going to be there to provide support as long as it's needed. What else can they do? They're caught in this trap because we live in a zero to zero and a quarter Fed rate, which for all purposes, we're at zero. Okay. And that seems to never change. We've been not far above that for a long time as well. And they're doing ridiculous amount of bond purchases every month. So if hypothetically say, what if you just kept doing that going forward and then things get worse? What is it you can do to help? I don't think the economy needs help. I think there's too much help. But here's the problem. Interest rates are going to go up. It's going to drive the market down. And that's going to upset a lot of people. The government does not necessarily want higher interest rates as well.
Right.
But we've got to get off this crack. We have to get off of it. And I'm speaking to all the stimulus and support. This economy wants to get back going. It wants to roar. So we've got to get off of this stimulus mindset. And it's just unbelievable how much debt we've built up because of that. So that's my thought on this. Oh, we're going to be there to support. Well, you need to not... The meeting should have been talking about, really, we need to start adjusting this back. Get used to it, people. Not the, we're going to talk about.
Doing something, right, getting back to normal.
Yeah.
No, amen on the we got to get off of this crack part, because it all feels really nice now, but a bill comes for this. All this inflation, the reason your grocery bills have gone up 10% in the last 2 years is because of this.
There's a price to pay.
And the soundbite I can't play you, Gregory, is... Through the rest of his speech, he was at the podium for about a half hour. Through all the questions, he never put down the goalpost on what that means until things get better. We're just going to keep low until we feel like things are better. Well, what does that mean? What does unemployment have to get to before you think it's good enough?
It used to be an employment mandate. Now it's not.
And he never says how much inflation is too high before they clock rates. He's not going to be held accountable for anything because he didn't put any goalpost down. And I can't play you an absence of goalpost. But I can tell you, this is where you mentioned the lumber part when we were in the commodities part of the numbers section.
Inflation has come in above expectations over the last few months. But if you look behind the headline numbers, you'll see that the incoming data are consistent with the view that the prices that are driving that higher inflation are from categories that are being directly affected by the recovery from the pandemic and the reopening of the economy. So, for example, the experience with lumber prices is illustrative of this. The thought is that prices like that have moved up really quickly because of the shortages and bottlenecks and the like, they should stop going up. And at some point, they in some cases, should actually go down. And we did see that in the case of lumber.
Right after this, he mentioned used cars, too. And he's cherry picking a couple of tiny little spots out of the market that where the prices could go back down. But that's not what everyone's concerned about. They're concerned about those prices at the grocery store aren't going to go back down. The price of meat and chicken and eggs is not going to go back down. Not back to where it was.
No, I don't think we're seeing impact there. I don't know that is transitory or it's not going to. I don't think it's going to get back to where it was. It may reduce off, cars, they're going to catch up. The dealer's going to catch up and start having new cars to sell, which will affect used cars. So those prices have come back down. I have the other concern is energy as well. And this administration is pushing to curtail energy use, the development, the finding it and bringing it to market. They're pushing back against that. And that's going to affect at the pumps, which that is if you don't understand, it takes fossil fuels to get food across the country, to get cars away from the manufacturers to the dealers' lots. Your roofing material is going to be impacted. Those 2x4s going to travel by truck to get to the building site. Everything needs that. So if we have higher energy costs, that's getting passed along, eventually ends up at the consumer. So I don't see this inflation stopping.
And the third clip I want to bounce off you, Gregory, this is where he says we can retire that whole phrase where we're talking about it. I think he feels kind of embarrassed that got as much play as it did.
I expect that we'll be able to say more about timing as we see more data, basically. There's not a lot of more light I can shed on that. But you can think of this meeting that we had as the talking about meeting, if you like. And I now suggest that we retire that term, which has served its purpose well, I think. So committee participants were of the view that since we adopted that guidance in December, the economy has clearly made progress, although we are still a ways from our goal of substantial further progress.
Okay, we'll see how that goes for the next meeting.
The thing you missed about this clip is he had an annoyed look on his face, like when your kid asked for the 19th time, are we there yet? He's like, yeah, and I think we can retire this phrase. I think he felt dumb saying it. I think it's been embarrassing for him to have to deal with it for the last few months, because that's what people like us keep bringing up.
How did it come up? How was this?
Because he said it, because he's the one who said, we're going to talk about having the conversation at the next meeting. It's like, well, then you're having the conversation. No, we didn't talk about it. We talked about it.
Yeah, that is, he's not Janet Yellen, right? Mm-hmm. It's previous. She was really, really one of the greatest at cryptic speech. Is that, I don't know if I use.
Vague, intentionally vague speech, because she didn't know the answer and she wasn't trying to convey you a secret answer. She was trying to muddy the water.
Different terminology to basically say without saying that we're not talking about this for a while. And he did, well, we're going to talk about talking about it. All you had to say is, yeah, we're likely to have a discussion regarding this next Fed meeting, because that is what they did. He just, for lack of, he is wanting to put it off, like, we really don't want to talk about next meeting. We need to put it off to another meeting because we don't want to do any of that dialing back this year. This is 2021. They're saying they're going to raise interest rates in 2023. Remember, what month is this? We're in June of 2021, and they're saying, yeah, we might have two rate hikes in the back end of 2023. So that's why we're going to talk about possibly maybe talking about raising interest rates. That's what he's trying to do, is just put it off, and he flubbed it. Last night's event over at Keith Young's in Covington. Am I right? It was in Covington.
I think technically it's Madisonville.
It's Madisonville. Sorry,
but it's in that gray area between the two.
Yeah. Great event. And one cool thing is, you know, I collect those surveys, thoughts from people that attended the event. And it's their concerns on investing, markets, inflation. I had several that just wrote in bonds, ? It's another that listed 3 points. The first was, I'm starving. Second was, what about the markets? And then he had a third point, and which caused me, I even changed up. I saw that and I said, you know what? Tell them, get the white wine out, bring the salads. We're going to eat some salads before we start, because then, you know, it was leaving time for about 25 minutes before the next course was served, because, you know, it's kind of timed out and we kind of do this as we go. And I just made a change. I said, I'm good. I want some salad too. Serve the salads.
Because he was starving?
Somebody was starving. I don't know who it was, but if he's hungry, everybody else was. So we took care of that. It was a good move. But see, I like those surveys, and we're going to start talking about those on tomorrow's show. We're going to start talking about them, and we'll, you know, carry that on to Saturday's show as well. The big 11-year extravaganza on Saturday.
The second annual Winnie's Awards presentation will be happening. The very prestigious Winnie's Awards.
Yeah, I brought it up last night because, you know, at the event, I give some wine tips and such and talked about the Winnie's, and there's going to be a category for wine. And I told them how you were trying to sneak in Black Box Malbec.
Right, Black Box Malbec.
And I was going over, you know, the reasons for observing the cork coming out of when you pull out the wine. But I said, if you have box wine, you don't get to have this part of the experience with box wine. Sorry, James, but there's no cork in a box, in a bag of wine.
I do feel like I'm missing something with the absence of the cork. You know, it's part of the ritual. You got to pull it. You don't have to sniff it. You, right, Gregory? That's yeah. that. Is that a?
You can't tell. Is it? Well, it's not cork because there's not going to be a cork. You don't know if it's cooked or has it oxidized.
Right.
And actually, it's sealed. It's almost the equivalent of having a bottle that's corked and they pour wax over it. So there's no chance of any air seeping to help age the wine. Very slow oxidation over years ages your wine. And you're not having that in a bag of wine. And you're really not having that on twist tops as well. So how it is when it's bottled or bagged is what you're going to experience when it comes out.
It doesn't sound as cool when you say bag, because box wine versus it is a bag in a box. That's kind of
I know. That's what it is. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. The magic's gone.
You right there.
Got to go back to bottles now. All right. Another interesting area of feedback that Gregory and I watch is how you react to the things we put on social media. And one of the things that we were looking at when we were trying to decide what is going to win the Winnie for best caller of the year, let's go see what got the best stats on YouTube and the best stats on Facebook and, you know, all this other stuff we share out. And the interesting part is Gregory and I pretty much settled on what's probably our three best calls, give or take a few. But the YouTube numbers didn't match with any of those three. In fact, the three most popular calls on YouTube, we're thinking about making its own separate category. I was going to play one real quick. This is a short one. This is just 2 minutes here. But this was the third most popular YouTube video in the last 12 months. It was a call from New Orleans with a lady asking about how to handle a deferred comp plan. And that makes sense, Gregory. Most people that are listening to the show, the guy listening right now, probably doesn't have access to a deferred comp plan. There's just a tiny sliver of the population that does. But when they do, and they're faced with questions, there's not a whole lot of people offering up help like you did to Lisa here. So this is this was actually from October. Let's talk to Lisa in New Orleans. Lisa, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
I do not have a 401k, but I participate in something called a deferred compensation sort of project, I guess you'd say. And when it started, the company let us spread it out, like, over 7 years. Well, now the company's saying, hey, you know, if you retire or if you're terminated, you have to take it in one lump sum, and the option to spread it out has been taken away. What kind of tax hit am I looking at?
Ouch, if that's a lot of money. So it's going to be subject to your tax bracket. And I've seen those plans before. I had somebody sit down with me a few years ago, a friend that was getting a deferred comp, and I think it was like $70K a year for 5 years. Good, thank goodness they didn't force it upon her all at once. But it's going to be subject to your income that year. And the amount of deferred comp is all going to be wrapped together, and you're going to be taxed at that tax bracket. Is it a lot?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been with this company like 30 years.
And you've built up quite a bit.
Yes.
And is there any way they could at least split it? I'm not going to ask you your amounts, but there's no way. They're not willing to do it in two parts, like hit me in December and then in January.
I just didn't think that when you started an option that they could change it midstream, but I guess that's legal if they're doing it.
Yeah, I don't know the situation, but to change it on you midstream seems kind of tough. Can you access it in advance?
When Hurricane Katrina hit, we were allowed to take hardship discounts, but even that has been discontinued.
Wow. And there's no COVID option on that to take some this year?
None.
I'd like to do some reading about it, but yeah.
I'll definitely do some investigative work, and I'll probably get back to you guys.
Okay. Right. Yeah, give us a call, Lisa, see if we can be of help more.
All right, so that was the third most watched YouTube video on the Winning It Life YouTube channel in the last year.
Actually, at the event last night, I talked about deferred comp. And it just, when it's big, the friend that I had had that conversation with a few years ago was a situation where deferred comp was turning on and she was going to receive a pretty sizable payment every year for the next 5 years. It's like $250,000. And she was like, what tax strategies? She said, I've been talking to some other people and they've given me some ideas of how I can avoid tax. And I said, that already bothering me, that conversation. And I probably know a little bit about the conversations you've had. With that said, I would not like to have a problem when something is disallowed later, because then you're going to pay the taxes, you're going to pay penalties and interest. And then when all that, say you did this and reduced it over 5 years, and in 10 years it becomes disallowed, you owe all that money at once, and it's a big pile of tax dollars in that situation. I said, maybe in this case, how to win, pay the taxes. And I told her, I said, you are familiar with my max funding strategy that we do. So pay the tax, put it in the max funding strategy, let it grow, and then down the road, you can turn on tax-free income. Pay now, win later. So that was kind of a discussion I shared with her. And it wasn't that she was retired. She's still working. Probably her income was that or more with the deferred comp coming on top. So this was no easy way to go. But when you kind of look at the decision, is maybe it is better now because taxes are going up.
How few people deal with a deferred comp? I mean, we almost never get a call on the show. I'm talking like 3 or 4 a year on the show.
I don't run across it that much. Sometimes there's unique plans. There was another conversation had a while back where a gentleman's contract with the company was his retirement contract on that deferred comp. But the problem with that, it was a lump sum deal at the end. If you agree to work with us this many more years, we'll give you deferred comp. And it was a big check, but it's all at once. And I was like, can you maybe talk to ownership about changing that and say spreading it out over 5 years? That would help you a lot more.
One of the categories we're thinking about adding to the Winnies this year, it's not official, so I'm just going to say we're thinking about it. We're talking about having to talk about adding it. Is the most popular YouTube videos. And this was the number one. This is it. This is the number one video that you watched on YouTube from this show over the last year.
Rhonda in New Orleans. You're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Rhonda?
Good morning.
Morning.
I am 63 years old. I worked in the public school system for 20 years, and I did an early retirement in 2016. I continue to work. I'm a mental health provider, and I'm very unclear. I've heard different things when I call Social Security, and they send me all everywhere, with the windfall of if I will be able to receive Social Security, because I have worked part-time jobs to make ends meet over the years, and I have paid into Social Security as well as paying into the school system. The small pension that I get from the 20 year is not enough to live off of. So I'm wondering if you have any news. I know with windfall, they've tried to change things, but I don't know where they're at in that process.
Well, the last point I'll start with is they're not going to change that. And it basically, the core of it is based on how Social Security pays out benefits. So the first $996 of average monthly earnings is multiplied by 90%. Earnings between $996 and $6,002 are multiplied by 32%, and the balance by 15%. Social Security is designed to take care of lower income workers, so they get a better percentage of that portion of income is replaced. Higher income earners, it's a smaller portion. So, you know, basically for those middle income and up is designed to replace around 40% of income, where for lower income workers, it's designed to replace about 60, percent of income. So when you're not participating in Social Security, you're showing up as low income, which is unfair because you're not low income and you have a pension and substantial income considered versus the lower income. And that's just kind of a simple explanation of why it's structured that way. For them to go change that is a complete restructuring. The problem is, I think, and from when they created Social Security, they had a basically a place in the law allowing some municipalities and states to opt out of Social Security and have their own system. And they should not have allowed that. Is what they should have done is everybody participates in Social Security. You're taxed on it. And if they want to give you a pension, that's awesome. A plus side to that, but they should not have let them opt out of it. That's the core fix. It's just make everybody participate in Social Security, and Social Security's better for it. Looked like a great option, but in retrospect, it isn't. So,
of the money that I'm paying into it now? Like since 2016, I've been working and had part-time jobs where I paid into it as well over the years.
You're getting credit for that. So once again, your benefit's going to be reduced essentially by how much that pension is. So how much is your pension or ballpark of that?
Before they take out insurance, about $1,700.
$1,700 a month for a pension. So how many years did you work in the state program where you didn't participate in Social Security?
20
years. And outside of that, I'm just making a note here, no social, so 20 years. And how many years have you worked in the private sector where you've paying into Social Security?
Since I did the early retirement in 2016. And then during those 20 years, it was kind of spotty. There was a few years here and there where I did part-time and I paid taxes on, not taxes, of course, but Social Security out of that as well when I had part-time work.
Yeah, so
but probably out of those 20 years, maybe 5 years where I did part-time.
Okay, so it's going to be reduced essentially by what you're receiving from pension, but you are getting credits. The ultimate workaround, and you may not know this, and hopefully we help you with this morning with this, but you have 30 or more years of substantial earnings under Social Security. So that's going to be difficult for you to get back to because you don't have that many years outside. You kind of hit 20 years into that system. But the workaround is having 30 years of substantial earnings where you participated in Social Security earnings there. Then there's no windfall elimination provision affecting you there. So you are getting credit and you're working on that difference, but that difference is going to be once you reduce off. So that's a difficult leap. Give me an idea of what your Social Security benefits are looking like. Have you looked into what that's going to be?
I don't know. I don't know. They never will give me an answer because of that.
You can go over to ssa.gov. One thing you should do is sign up for your SSA account online. That way you can go look at your records, make sure you're getting proper credits for them. Because you have a look back of 3 years, 3 months, and a couple of days there to go make sure that's correct. But you can also see what those benefits are. And over at ssa.gov, they have calculators as well, so you can input information and get an idea of the impact there. Was there another question that's unclear for you there?
So you're saying that the windfall's probably, that's not going to change anytime soon, and so I'm going to have to just, they're going to calculate what I put in.
Yeah, do not anticipate that going to change. I know there's a following out there. Okay. And it gets introduced and such. I just tell you, and I've looked at this, studied it for a long time, and I'm on the side to just tell you the truth. It is not going to change in my opinion there.
So I'm guessing the longer that I can work and put into it, the better.
Right. Actually, that's a good way to look at that. And I suggest you go, once again, ssa.gov, sign up for your account, utilize the calculators they have there also, and see where you stand on that.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda, for calling and discussing the windfall elimination provision. We get that's not unusual to have calls about that, and I'm sorry you're being penalized on that. Just I wish everybody participated in it. Then it'd been a great situation for you to have Social Security and a $1,700 a month. And one thing about Social Security, when you go pull up your numbers, it doesn't show that you, all those years that are zeroed out, it just makes you show up poor. The system does not know you work for a state that doesn't participate in Social Security. So it shows benefits. And the bigger problems come up where somebody has some time in on paying in Social Security benefits. An example of that, if we've got, regarding 20 years or less, you get 40%. Essentially, if I look at this, it's on that document that I mentioned, the windfall elimination provision PDF over at ssa.gov, but it kind of states 30 or more years, the percentage is 90%. But if it's 20 years or less of substantial earnings, you're probably going to get 40%. Another thing to look at, because remember, you're showing up poor on there and you're not. And that's one reason we have the windfall elimination provision, because of the way your earnings show up, having not participated much in Social Security. But one of the things you do for, and it protects you if you are a low pensioner, meaning your pension is not very big, it's a small pension, they're not going to reduce your Social Security benefits by more than 50% of your uncovered pension, meaning that pension you're receiving that you also didn't participate in Social Security to receive that. So for example, if your pension amount is, say, $800 a month and your Social Security earnings are $1,000, but they're not going to reduce it by more than 50% of that pension amount. So it's not going to completely wash you out. You're protected in that way. And I think that's something good to know as well. And there are calculators at ssa.gov to help you figure out those calculations, because it is quite complicated and confusing, the different scenarios.
Thanks again to Lisa in New Orleans who called in last October, and I'm sorry, Rhonda in New Orleans who called in last October and gave us our most watched YouTube video of the year. Not surprised it's about windfall elimination provision. But if you have any more financial questions, I'm going to have to direct your attention to Gregory Ricks and Associates. Call Gregory at his day job, 504-832-9200, or go to gregoryricks.com. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Gregory Ricks & Associates is an independent financial services firm that utilizes a variety of investment and insurance products. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. Neither AE Wealth Management nor advisors providing investment advisory services through AE Wealth Management recommend or facilitate the buying or selling of cryptocurrencies. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.